And Merry Christmas. 10 days to go. Very exciting. Christmas is coming early to us because on the 21st, Sarah and Sophie come home. So I'm really excited. And just absolutely can't wait for that. I want to say good morning to anybody on the podcast. We love you. We love you tuning in. May you be really blessed this morning. Wherever morning, evening, afternoon is when you're listening on the podcast. You're very welcome. So I'm doing, in true LifeSpring style, no acknowledgement of Christmas, even though we're getting near Mark 6-7. So nothing Christmassy, as per, keeping to tradition. But actually, I was thinking about that. Isn't Christmas all about Emmanuel? Yeah, God with us. So literally, every day is Christmas Day, but without too much overeating and no shopping. Fantastic, yeah? So it is, every day is a chance to be with Jesus. Yes, fantastic, isn't it? So every day is like Christmas. And today is an awesome day because we literally get to look at what he says. It's fantastic. We're going to get a chance to be with him, listen to him, find out what's important to him. It can only be good, can't it? So praise the Lord. I've got to work out how to do this thing. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. So I've called it, Is Your Goodness Only Skin Deep? Or Is Your Religion Only Skin Deep? Because God really wants our hearts. And Jamie and I have been on holiday and come back. So essential, catch up with professional MasterChef. That's been my, it's my little thing that I have to record and watch. And last night, couldn't get to sleep at all, so excited by MasterChef. Need to get a life, I know. And, it was an amazing one where the three finalists go to Italy. And they're really good cooks, obviously, really good chefs. And they've been trained. They make a fantastic meal. But they went and met this amazing chef, 3-Michelin-star chef. And he basically brought out that every meal he cooks has full of his heart and it's full of his passion. And every meal he's designed has come right from his heart. It's cooked with love. It's cooked, it is him on a plate. And you see him take these people who follow all these rules and they're good at following the rules and they make really nice food, learn to cook from their heart, and the food just goes right up there, and they come alive because they're finally cooking with all the passion of all the destiny of who they were meant to be. And it, to me, it just summed up what this passage is going to be about. It's, people, these Pharisees, they follow these rules. They've got their idea of what life's about. And Jesus is saying, if you have me in your heart, if you live from your heart, I will make you the best that you could ever be. And you it's like you can follow these rules or you can have a relationship with me that's going to set you on fire for the rest of your life. So I feel so excited about it, and hope you will too. So I don't want to have a religion that's skin deep, because God's after my heart, and we want to give him our hearts, don't we? So I'm going to start with... thank you, Sarah. She's given me lots of nice nods at the back. I'm going to start off with Mark 7, verses 1 to 5. I'll just say as a little proviso that there are so many things you could say, and there's so much, and I'm just kind of doing what I feel I want to talk about. So there'll probably be lots of things you think, you could have talked about that, and you should have talked about this, and that was really good, and you didn't miss it, and blah, blah, blah. But I'm just doing what I want to do. So, and I hope the Holy Spirit is okay with that. So, Mark 7, 1 to 5. So, the Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers and kettles, and dining couches. I've got added on to mine. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" So I'm just going to grab a little swig. So what I wanted to talk about is that the Jews had basically added, I think in the region of about 300 rules over and above the commands of God. And a lot of them were to do with being clean. My neighbour up the road is a lovely man. He's a Jew. And we cannot have him for a meal because he cannot, you know, be sure that we would have things clean for him, righteous, holy, the way they would do it. And he's actually a vegetarian, not because he just loves vegetables or because he hates meat, but they have so many rules about what pots you have for meat, and these pots can't touch those pots, and you can't, you know, you can't put that with that, and if you have a dairy product when you're having meat, and all these kind of things. So it's a lot easier for him to make sure he gets it right because he wants to be clean just to be a vegetarian. So they still do these, a lot of these rules to this day. And I was thinking about the fact that in this passage it mentions in particular they have to wash after they've been to the marketplace. So their view was, mixing with people, you might touch somebody who's unclean, or they might be doing something that's unclean. You know how you go into the market, it's all about buying and selling, that's unclean. So you've got to come back and you've got to have cleansed yourself. And I don't mean, you know, they had to wash their hands before they eat like we all should do. They do a ceremonial washing because it's like I'm washing off the filth of having been out in the world. And I want to make sure I'm holy and clean. And I was thinking about this. And I was thinking about how they've added so many, many rules, and it's all about being clean. And I want to say something really, really simple, but something amazingly, amazingly wonderful. We just don't need to do that. We have the blood of Jesus that washes us clean from every sin. And I was just getting very excited last night thinking about this. And I was thinking, I just want to take just a little moment to think about that. Every single thing that I've done is covered by the blood of Jesus. So everything I did out of anger, out of hatred, out of bitterness, out of rudeness, everything I did before I thought about it, everything I wished I hadn't done, everything I wish I had done, if only I'd known better, everything that I regret, that I'm ashamed of, that I feel guilty about, is covered by the blood of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Everything I've said, the things we say, the things we wish we could take back, the things we've said before we've thought, the things we've said and we've seen, it's been like a knife in someone's heart, and you just wish, you wish, you wish you'd never said it. You know, the things you just say, just rude, the gossip, the slander, the impatience, you name it, whatever it is that you've said, the things we wish we had said. How many times, you know, there's so much we don't say that we wish we had said. All of that covered by the blood of Jesus. What a weight off. I am standing here, the apple of my dad's eye, Father God's eye, with nothing between me and him that's separating me from his love. Nothing to do with me because of the blood of Jesus. Should make us feel pretty good, yeah? Pretty good. It's all covered by the blood of Jesus. And his blood paid on the cross, at the cross, everything I've done, said, shouldn't have said, wished I'd said. Everything is handed to him. He took it and he gave me instead his righteousness. It's the antidote to regret. It's the antidote to guilt. It's the antidote to shame. It's freedom. So we don't have any of these rules. We don't have to follow any of them because of Jesus. So, whew, fantastic. Hallelujah. 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 His blood pays for every sin. So it's like the obvious, but isn't it good? Isn't it good? Isn't it good? Let it sink in. I'm forgiven. Amazing, isn't it? Totally undeserved. Whew. So good. Amen. Woo! Yeah, amen. So when I was thinking about this and all this adding on and adding on, and I've got to be clean, and I've got to wash this and I've got to wash that, I wanted to think about, do we do that? Do we do that ourselves in some way? And I want to talk to these sort of people. Yeah? These people who maybe like me, you've got an oversensitive conscience and you find it really hard to accept that you're forgiven. So it's kind of like you wish, or you do your own thing, but you know, it's like that thing at school, you know, you've messed up 100 lines, you should not be rude to the teacher. You know, you want something that you can do, and then, you know, I will do the washing up for a week, or, you know, I don't know, whatever it is, you know, you feel you've got to earn it in some way. And, you know, I know for me, it's like, sorry, God. I'm really sorry about that. Oh, God, I'm really sorry about that. I'm really, you know, Debs, I heard you the first time. It's forgiven. But we get bullied. We get bullied by our own conscience. And what I wanted to say is, this is what we have to do. We have to say, you know what, soul? It's time to be quiet. Just relax. I've made a decision. My decision is, I'm following Jesus. Jesus says, I'm forgiven. That's what I'm choosing to believe. So you just quieten down. You just quieten down and relax. And then, you know, maybe 2 or 3 minutes goes by and your soul comes back to remind you, no, no, I think we should do something. You know, this is the worst thing I've ever done. There's nothing that could cover that. No, no, no. Soul, chill out. Take a chill. Do you know what Jesus said to me once? I'm quite offended with him in a way. He said, chillax. He said to me, chillax. I said, Lord, I really don't like that word. Chillax. But, you know, just chill. Just chill. I'm forgiven. I've made a decision. I'm choosing to believe Jesus. Quieten down. So I really want to say that. You don't have to add anything. You don't have to keep going over in your mind. You don't have to keep remembering it. You don't have to do anything to try, you know, and somehow earn, you know, being back all right with God. I'll read my Bible for 2 hours every day. Whatever it is, no. You come to Jesus and you make a decision. I believe in what you did for me on that cross. That's it. So I really want to say to people, if you've got a conscience that bullies you, tell it to quieten down. We're following Jesus. And everything in the kingdom is appropriated by faith. So we appropriate that forgiveness by faith. What does that mean? It means you make a decision. I'm choosing to believe Jesus. And then, please, Holy Spirit, can you come and help me and give me some faith? And he does. So we make a decision. Holy Spirit comes along and helps us and gives us faith. And that's all you have to do. So let's make a decision. Let's not waver. We're forgiven. Amen? Amen. And the other thing I was thinking about this, you know, the Jews were, they were all, you know, oh, we mustn't get contaminated. We mustn't get contaminated. Something might touch us that's, you know, unclean. I must make sure I'm clean. I'm going to do all this washing. I mustn't be contaminated. But do you know who we are? We're salt and light. Jesus completely transformed the whole thing. If you saw a leper, unclean, run. Jesus, you know, if a leper touches you, you're going to be unclean. Jesus, totally different, walks up to the leper, touches the leper becomes clean. That's the kingdom of God. That's who Jesus is. And we have Jesus living inside us, and we're to do the same in society, okay? The whole way round. So, amen. Thank you very much, whoever said amen. That's very nice. So we're called to be in the world, but not of the world. We carry the presence of Jesus. Salt cleanses, salt preserves, light dispels darkness. That's who we are. That is who we are. So we don't go out thinking, ooh, I might get contaminated. We go out thinking, what can I sanctify? What can I redeem? We change the atmosphere. We bring the light of the world with us, Jesus. So there's no spiritual and secular divide. Jesus comes with you wherever, and he wants to sanctify it. So let's go for that, yeah? Let's go for that. Let's go in confidence in who we are, yeah? Amen. It's nice getting some amens. So, how deep is your love? I'm having a Bee Gees research at home. My iPod, my computer thing's not working, but I've got a little bit of Staying Alive. It's going to go on there soon. I've been having that in my mind quite a lot. But how deep is your love? Anybody remember that one? Yeah, so that's on my mind as well. Once I get the computer working, that's going on my iPod. I'm just having a little Beatles research. Beatles, Bee Gees. Did I say Beatles? My word, Debs. Didn't sleep very well last night. Too excited. So, yeah. So I want to think about this a little bit. The Bee Gees. It's a tragedy. Yeah. I'm just staying alive. Yeah. I've gone on one now. Okay. Ooh, got to take myself back. Okay. So just carrying on. This is where we get to listen to Jesus. He replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. And he continued, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is korban, that is, a gift devoted to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And you do many things like that. Woo. So, Jesus tells it to them straight. That's what love does, doesn't it? And I was thinking about this, and if I was going to partner this with another scripture, I would choose 1 Corinthians 13. It's that whole thing of, you know, you can do this, you can do that. Give your money to the poor. Give your body even to be burnt. You know, do all those kind of what we think really religious things. But if you don't have love, it's just like a clanging gong or a cymbal. And they'd miss the whole point. The Jews had created their own set of rules. And if you kept these rules, you were righteous. And in actual fact, in doing these rules, they set aside God's commands and they elevated their own set of rituals above his commands. And I was thinking about this, and the good question is, who were they following? They weren't following Jesus, they were following themselves. Anybody done the Alpha course? It's good, isn't it? So I don't know if you remember Nicky Gumbel, isn't it, doing this thing where he said, you know, think of somebody who's really, really good. And you immediately always think of Mother Teresa, don't you? I don't know why, but you do, but she's amazing. So he'd kind of say, so if, you know, the whole, do you remember this? The whole wall is kind of goodness. Where would you put Mother Teresa? And they're kind of like, oh, yeah, she's sort of like up here. Okay, so somebody really bad, you always go immediately Hitler, don't you? So, okay, right down there, right down there. Okay, so, you know, where would you put yourself? And you think, not really Mother Teresa, not as bad as Hitler. So Mother Teresa here, well, I don't know, about here? Happy with that? Yeah, about here? All go for that? Yeah. Little nods? Yeah, somewhere a bit high for some of us, a bit low for some of us. Lower, Neville's going lower, about there. Okay, and so you kind of then, because what do you think? You think to yourself, well, I'm all right. I'm about here. And then he always does that thing where he says, well, actually, do you know what? The standard isn't there. Take the roof off, go right up to the clouds. That's God's goodness. That's his standard. You cannot get there. You cannot get there. All these rules and regulations that they were following, they were saying the standard's here. You've got to do this, you've got to do that. You keep these 300 rules and you get to this standard. But actually, the standard is right out there and you cannot reach it without the blood of Jesus. So it was masking the problem because they were going around thinking, I'm all right. I'm doing all these rules. I'm masking the problem. What did Jesus say to him? Do you know what, guys? You're whitewashed tombs. You're looking good on the outside, but inside it's death because it's not made a jot of a difference to who you are. They became out of touch with their need of God and the true state of their heart. And they'd settled for appearances rather than reality. An awful lot of us go around thinking, I'm all right. It's a bit extreme, isn't it, this Jesus dying for you business? I'm all right. We've got our standards that we follow. Yeah? Ah, well, I'm not doing as bad as some people. I've got some things I'm following, but some of them's a bit extreme. I'm not going to do those things. We set our own standards. Then who are we following? We're following ourselves. And we're not called to follow ourselves. We're called to follow Jesus. And we cannot water down the word of God. We have to follow him. So, are we following ourselves or are we following Jesus? It does matter what we do. I'm doing in, this don't tell James. Oh, he's here. He will have to know. We do see you at school. They said, Debs, can you think of a name? I couldn't think of a name, so we'll call it Refresh. So I go to Jamie, I'm preparing for Refresh. She goes, what? So we have a bit of confusion in the house. And it's on a Friday. It's not bad, is it? But it's at lunchtime. And we've been doing Romans, and I found this horrendous verse. God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? It's pretty horrendous. But actually, people spot hypocrites very easily, don't they? People who say one thing and do another. And that's what Jesus is talking about. They honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And we are called to make Jesus famous and to be his representative on the earth. So it does matter what we do. And I was thinking about this. I don't know if I put this on here or not. Yeah, lip service or from the heart. Try to teach their children to say sorry when they've done something wrong. Anybody, do you know exactly what I'm going to say, don't you? So this is the brilliant version. Okay, so Sarah, you know, blah, 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 blah. Say sorry. Lip service coming up. You ready for it? Sorry. Yeah? Anybody had that from their kid? So they're in a bind. They're in a bind. Mum's not going to stop until I do this thing. I hate my sister at the moment. So it's sorry. And it's this whole thing, isn't it? Do you settle for that? Or do you try and get them to the place where compassion sets in, you forgive from the heart, because that's what Jesus is talking about, isn't it? And you're sorry from the heart. You know, God really wants our hearts. I was thinking about, wouldn't it be awful if you just said, I love you, to someone? Get them off your back. Get what you want. Because it's the done thing, or it's just become a routine. Who wants that from their hubby or their wife or their girlfriend or boyfriend? Anybody up for that? Yay. No? No. And do you know what? God's exactly the same. Because that's where we get that passionate desire to be loved passionately from. It's from God. And he really wants our hearts. And it really matters to him what we do. It matters more to him, actually, why we do it. He really wants our hearts. So I just want you to take a little stop for a minute and just think, you know, God, I really want to give you my heart again. I don't want to go through the motions. I don't just want to be ticking the boxes, doing what I should do, doing what I should so somebody in church notices, you know, somebody thinks I'm doing okay. I'm, you know, going through the motions. I want to love you with my heart. I want to sing my songs to you because I love you with my heart. I want to bring my offering because I love you with my heart. It's my worship to you. I want to be my best at school when I'm teaching because I love you with my heart, Jesus. I want to be the best husband, wife I can be because I love you, Jesus. It's all about our heart, isn't it? Jesus wants to bring out the best in us, and that means he wants our hearts. So I don't want him to say that to me. I don't know about anybody else. Lip service or romance? Lip service or romance? No, ladies, the chocolates. Just for you and me. So, moving on to the last bit. Ooh. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them. After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. Are you so dull, he asked. Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach, and then out of the body. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, that's any sex outside of marriage. Theft, I think we know that one. Murder, adultery, greed. I don't think that just means food, but greed. Malice, you know, that's that kind of hating, nasty, wanting the worst for people. Deceit, lying, lewdness. Neville, lewdness, what's that like? Kind of rude, seeing vulgar, seeing people as sexual objects rather than who they are. Everything's a sexual joke, sexual innuendo. Envy, wanting other people's stuff. Slander, bitching about people behind their back. Arrogance, I know it all. Folly, total stupidness. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. So Jesus is making some stuff pretty clear. It's, you can go for the outside, you can go for looking good, but it will change nothing on the inside. And it is what is inside you that will come out in this sort of horrible behavior. Evil deeds start with evil thoughts. And how do you control them? You need a new heart, don't you? So Jesus, I must say, is saying, he says, what comes out of a person is what defiles them, not what comes in. And I just wanted to say that he's talking there about food. And there are things that are outside that will defile you because they don't go into your stomach. They go into your heart and they go into your spirit. And I'm just going to put it out there as something that is really massively prevalent that will defile you is pornography. And it's not just men, it's women as well. It is everywhere. Sex is everywhere, isn't it? And pornography is everywhere. And I just want to say that is something that will defile you. And the world says it's okay. When I was a kid growing up, it was on the kind of top shelf. And, you know, people kind of came in and shuffle it under their coat and walk out. And now, as we were in Tenerife on holiday, and I was walking past the T-shirt shop, and it was, I love porn. We're totally unashamed about it. Shame isn't good. Don't want anybody to be under shame, but I do want to say it's something God really wants to set you free from. Don't agree with the world that it's okay, because it really defiles your spirit and leads you down a path you don't want to go. So, what do we do with all this? Oh, to me it's there, to you it's there. What do we do? Is Christianity a long list of rules of things we've got to do? You know, we've already said our behaviour is really important, isn't it? We don't want to blaspheme God's name to be blasphemed. But what on earth do we do? We've got this problem. We've got this stuff in our hearts. What on earth do we do? Well, the amazing truth is that Jesus doesn't come and say, look good, hide it, control it. He says, I've come to set you free. I have come to clean you up on the inside so that what comes out of you is me, is good, is love. He changes us on the inside. He changes the way we think. He changes the way we feel. He changes our attitudes. He helps us to forgive. He gets rid of bitterness. He gets rid of hatred. He gets rid of anger. He gets rid of rejection. He heals our hearts, and then our behavior changes. He doesn't change your behavior. How dare you be like that? Sort yourself out. It's come to me. Let me heal you. Let me cleanse you. And then you find your behavior changes. It's a fantastic gospel. God deals with the heart. It's not a list of rules and regulations. It's about a relationship. And I've been reading for myself 1 John, and I wanted to show you these verses. 1 John 2, I missed out verse 6 because it says you've got to live exactly like Jesus. And I thought, oh, I'll just leave that one behind for a minute. Okay, we know, this is the verse that's been really going on in my mind. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Those who say, I know him, but do not do what he commands are liars, and the truth is not in them. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in him. And I've just been thinking about this. If we know him, we keep his commands. And I'm just going off on a little thought about that now. And hold your horses, there's going to be a Christmassy bit. Also, for my friend Shelley, Michael Ball, love changes everything, okay? This is the truth. Wait for it. Now, what is she doing, showing you a Christmas pudding? Well, I'm going to tell you something. In the Bible, the word know is an amazing word, and it's about intimacy, it's about relationship, it's about really knowing somebody. This is my lovely hubby over there in the red shirt, and probably a lot of people know this about Jamie, but I really know this about Jamie because I'm married to him. He loves his food, okay? He really loves his food. Food for him is not fuel. You don't just take it, eat it, move on. He loves his food. And when I grew up, I didn't like food. I didn't like my mum's cooking, but don't tell her. She burnt everything and cooked it to death before you ate it, and I just didn't like it. And the biggest spice we had was salt. And that was it. And garlic? No. So I didn't really eat very well when I was a kid. And Jamie taught me to cook when I was at university because I wasn't eating anything. And on the plus, I was really skinny. But on the negative, I was just eating chocolate. And Angel Delight, I think, was my fave at the time. Didn't know how to cook anything else. So he taught me to cook. But when marrying Jamie, when you've seen Jamie eat something that he likes, his face lights up, okay? His face absolutely lights up. And he'll talk about it, you know. And I love that look. And that's what made me learn to cook, okay? And I've got to the stage, MasterChef is one of my favourite programmes, okay? I love to cook because I love to see the look on his face. Now, cook Jamie a meal, fantastic. Cook Jamie a pudding. Oh my goodness, we're going to the heights of the heights, okay? Now, I put a Christmas pudding up there because he does like Christmas pudding and it's Christmassy, but in our house, we both like raspberries, so there's always raspberries in the freezer. So, you know, we're both trying to watch our waistline, which involves just watching our waistline, I've realised. there's a few kindred spirits out there, obviously. But anyway, so sometimes, you know, we've not been having our usual amount of puddings, okay? But sometimes I just want to see the look, okay? So for Jamie, top pudding, raspberry crumble. Crumble of any sort, raspberry crumble, preferably with cream. But if I make that, the look on the face, it's just joy. It's just joy, and it's such a joy to me. So I have learnt to cook because I just love Jamie, and I love to please him, and I love to see that look. That's what it's about with Jesus, yeah? You really want to see that look on his face, yeah? You get to know him. You get to know what he likes. You get to know what he doesn't like, and you just want to see that look on his face. I've told this story before, so I'm going to cut it really short. I wanted to have a real moan about some people and a real bit of a bitch, probably a couple of slides back. Bit of a one of those list, and I thought, I can't do that. I could tell Jamie, he's my husband, it won't matter. I can tell him. I'm gonna have a really good moan when this evening's over. I'm gonna tell him what I think about these people. Little thought comes into my head, Holy Spirit, not me. Holy Spirit doesn't really like me doing that. Problem. Really want to do that, really annoyed. What do I do? Holy Spirit, what can I do? I really want to do this. Can you help me? So Holy Spirit, being Holy Spirit, loves helping. So he just showed me why the people were doing what they were doing, and it was insecurity coming out. And then my compassion starts, so I'm okay. So forget all about it. Okay, Holy Spirit, I'm not going to do that. Forgot all about it, went to sleep. Next morning, I'm cycling to work. Bad combo for me. Cycling, work, early morning. Not a good combo. Good combo, lie in, cup of tea, good book. That's my fave combo. So I'm cycling to work and I'm thinking something is wrong. Something is seriously wrong. What is wrong? I'm feeling incredibly happy. Why am I feeling incredibly happy? This is not normal for me. Okay, so I'm cycling along thinking, I'm feeling really happy. I'm normally worrying about something. I'm normally feeling like crying because it's first thing in the morning and I hate getting up in the morning. And I really don't want to cycle up this hill and I'm feeling really cheerful. What is going on? And Holy Spirit goes, you know, I'm with you. And I am so pleased with what you did last night. And he has to be with me. He's made a promise he's going to be with me no matter what. But today he was just thrilled. Yeah, and I used to think, I think about it a lot because it was a mind-blowing experience for me because I'm not happy in the mornings and I'm not happy going to work early in the morning and I'm not happy cycling in the morning. So it was a shocking moment in my life. And I used to think, he's really pleased because I didn't bitch about people, which he is. But do you know what? It really suddenly dawned on me. He's really pleased because I really wanted to please him. And that was what was blessing his heart. And that's what it is about, guys. Knowing Jesus, really wanting to bless his heart, knowing what pleases him, and going for it. So, love changes everything. I want to say as well, love makes you want to be a better person, doesn't it? Love brings out the best in you. And Father God is always saying to me, I love you, Debs. Yeah, I know that, God, but could you tell me something else? No, I love you, Debs. I really love you. And he's always saying that to me. And when I'm journaling and talking to him, he's always saying to me, Debs, you're worrying about so many things. You only need one thing. You've got it. Me. I love you, Debs. And he tells me that all the time. And I was thinking about that horrible list of things that Jesus says comes out of our hearts. And I was thinking about it, and do you know, one of the main reasons why I think we sin is because we don't believe that God loves us enough to meet our need. And so we take matters into our own hands. And I was thinking about the story of Esau, you know, Jacob and Esau. And Esau had been out hunting all night, all day. He comes in, he's absolutely famished. Jacob has made this lovely stew. Give me some of that stew. Jacob, you know, irritating younger brother. I'm a younger sister, can imagine what it was like. Says, give me your birthright first. And Esau says, oh, who cares about that? I'm going to die if I don't eat something. Give me the food. And he makes this decision that changed the course of this whole history. And we have this destiny that God's called us to. But we have these really legitimate needs for a partner, for children, to be recognized, to be significant, to have a role, you know, whatever it is, they're absolutely God-given needs. But then we get to the place where we don't trust that God really loves us enough to meet that need. And that leads us to go for the bowl of stew, to go for the quick fix, to go for the immediate thing. Because let's face it, when we're waiting for God to come up and meet our need, he takes a long time about it, a lot of the time, because he wants to see our roots go down deep into him. And he's doing stuff. But we want it now. And if it's not coming now, we get afraid. God doesn't really love me. I'm going to do my own thing. And an awful lot of sin comes from that, I think. And I just really want to encourage you, pursue getting to know Jesus. You get to know him, you'll come to a place of rest where you know he's got it covered. He knows what you need. He's going to meet it. So let's pursue him. And the last thing I wanted to say is sometimes you have an issue, a sin. For mine was anger. And you're doing all you can to get that thing sorted out and nothing is shifting. I want to say that's because Jesus loves to go deep and he loves to deal with the roots. He doesn't like to deal with the symptoms. He likes to deal with the roots. And just very simply, we've got a healing encounter coming up. We've got in January, we've got an encounter coming up in March. We have Sozo prayer ministry in our church. We have counseling. We have prayer at the front. We have cell group where you can go and talk to your cell leader and pray with that person. We have every which way we have to deal with those roots so that you can start to produce that fantastic godly fruit rather than the anger, the bitterness, the rage, the slander, whatever it is that you're struggling with. So come to Jesus. He wants to clean you on the inside out, give you a new heart, set you free. I never thought I could go to be a teacher at school. Jamie said to me, somebody will diss you and you will have them by the throat up against the wall and then you'll lose your job. And he was not exaggerating. He knew me. I knew me. I couldn't have done it. He's changed me by dealing with the roots and my heart. It's not anything. I'm not trying to not be angry. He set me free and I'm a different person. So really want to encourage you, come to Jesus. So what I wanted to do is just say a few prayers for us, if that's okay. I'll just take a little swig. I'm just going to do a little, we don't need a big bandy thing at the moment. You're all right, Mel, because I'm not doing a song yet or anything. You're just chilling and grilling. Chillaxing. Ah! Okay, so I wanted to say a prayer and get us all to say it. And then I was going to say some prayers over us. So I wonder if you'd be so kind just to stand for me. And you may not need to say this prayer at all, but can we say it together? Because there might be somebody next to you who does need to say it, and it just makes it less embarrassing for them. So, okay, so if you wouldn't mind saying after me, Lord Jesus, I may look like I've got it all together, but inside, I'm a mess. I do stuff I wish I hadn't done. And the stuff I want to do, I just can't seem to do it. Please come into my heart. Clean me on the inside. I want to live for you. Yeah. Fill me up, Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah, yeah. So let's just feel the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, just calm and calm and touch each one of us, Holy Spirit. Come and fill our hearts with the love of Jesus. Yeah. And I'm just going to pray over us. God, I just want to pray if there's anybody who's got a conscience that will not keep quiet, that makes it really hard for them to receive the truth that you, Jesus, have completely forgiven them, and it's dealt with, and it's forgiven, and it's forgotten. I just want to declare freedom over you right now in Jesus' name. I want to pray, God, that you just set them free, that you would quieten their conscience, and I just pray for an ability to come right now to receive forgiveness from you. And we just take it now, Jesus. We take it now by faith that we're completely forgiven, and we declare we're going to forgive ourselves because you've forgiven us. And if you've forgiven us, that's all we need. And God, I just want to pray, if anybody's been just going through the motions recently, felt a bit tired, felt a bit weary, Jesus, would you come with your Holy Spirit and set our hearts on fire again? Will you just give us that first love for Jesus again? Just come and flood our hearts, set us on fire. God, we're just sorry where we've gone through the motions, where we've given you lip service and we haven't engaged our hearts. And we say, Jesus, come and take my heart now. Come and breathe your life into me, Jesus. I can't love you without your help. Come and help me love you. And God, just want to pray if anybody has been trapped in pornography, we just want to say freedom now in Jesus' name. We just break that hold over you in Jesus' name. We sever that soul tie between you and anything filthy or unclean in the name of Jesus. We cast, God, you come and cleanse hearts now. You cleanse minds of any images, and you would set people free. And God, we break the lie that you've blown it now. You can never be clean or pure. We break that lie in the name of Jesus. We break the lie that you can't do it. Jesus can do it. It's not about you. We break that lie. And with God, we just speak freedom over anybody with that struggle. And God, I just want to pray for that spirit of wisdom and revelation to know you better. And I want to pray your blessing on the church. You are Emmanuel, God with us. And I want to pray, God, that you'd help us to access that better. Open up our eyes to see you. Open up our ears to hear you. God, here's our hearts. Come and show us who you're like, Jesus. What you're like, what you like, what you don't like. Jesus, come and show us who you are. Let us know you better so that we can love you better and live to make you famous. So come, God. I pray your blessing and your protection over each person here. And God, we lift Christmas to you. And Lord, we want to just say, if anybody's going to any family who's not a Christian, we just want to pray for opportunities just to be salt and light, just to reveal your love, Jesus. And bless every family that we represent here, God. Let there be room in our family for you, Jesus, this Christmas. In God's mighty, mighty name. Amen. Amen. So there we go.